Hey, sorry we never had a dude kind of last week. Brock, I was, I was not stricken with COVID or anything interesting. It was kind of boring, actually. I was just doing business stuff. I was working. Oh, man. And then today I woke up and small kind of allergies. So no mind me. Now, we got to start with the attitude of gratitude. And, you know, we have three new countries joining us right now. So Zambia, okay, is the remember when we had the last three before that was Taiwan, Iraq, and Kenya, and now we have Zambia, Bhutan. See, the I don't know if it's a country of Bhutan or the kingdom of Bhutan. No disrespect, Bhutan. Sorry, I never passed my geography class, and like if you were to tell me, bro, okay, Junior, point to the map and show me Bhutan, right? I wouldn't know if a point. Anyway, but we're very grateful you're here. Thank you very much. So to the people of Bhutan that are listening, mahalos. And also to China. China is finally tuning in. They're kind of late. Russia was like long time ago, right? And there's, of course, that Ukraine thing that's going on. Anyway, so the other thing we wanted to do is send a special mahalo out to Spotify. Spotify is up to 15%. Remember when they started like 10%, then they were 12%, now they're at 15%. Apple Podcasts is at 62%, and it kind of goes, you know, on from there. We also have iHeart Media, which is now on the map, and they were not on the map earlier. We were always available on iHeart Radio. But now they're showing as a percentage of listenership. So we want to say mahalo. And you know that the beauty of this whole thing, man, this is a trip for me, Hawaiians. It really is, because, like, you know, now I'm in my, you know, my after career. This is like the after party, right? This is like the after career, right? And this is like a new career thing for me. And sorry, I get allergies, so you're gonna hear me sniffling and whatever. I'm sorry about that, but anyway, but the difference is we could see in real time like who's listening. If we get like another country before this podcast is done, I'll see it, you know, and it just pops up like that. I just gotta refresh the browser, and you know, boom, there it is. So what I really thank everybody for listening. Anyway, and you people from Hawaii, okay, you guys are still number three. And then it kind of goes down. One day I'm going to make a list of the states, and I'm going to bring the list and read them. Because there's a lot of states I don't mention. I mentioned the top three. the reason why I mentioned the top three is because it's the significant amount of listeners that we have in the United States. Our first state is California. Tons of Californians listen. Texas, tons of Texans listen. We've got listeners in Dallas, in Houston, in Austin, in San Antonio, like in Waco, like all over Texas. So we'd like to say mahalo to you guys. Aloha to you guys from Hawaii. And then number three is Hawaii. Now, in Hawaii, we always tell you about Wailuku Maui, and that, you know, we're very grateful. They were the first ones to pick us up to listen. Now, it's a lot of Oahu people on the island of Oahu. So we like to aloha you guys and, you know, tell you guys how's it. Now, you can go to the website. I've been reminded to tell you guys this because I don't mention it. Because this podcast is not about sponsorships and trying to get you to buy stuff and trying to get you to do stuff. And, you know, this is just a public service, you know, for people that, you know, need some insight, need some ideas, need some suggestions on how to do stuff. And then telling you what worked for me and how it worked for me and sometimes how it didn't work for me, right? One of my most embarrassing things, I told you guys on the other podcast. Now, for you guys that, you know, you don't want to go, you know, 20, 30 podcasts back, right? I totally get it. I get it. So today we're going to talk about the, you know, in the last podcast, we was talking about name, fame, and diversity, right? And don't get the wrong idea, because we had this guy messaged me on Instagram and he was like, oh, Junior, you know, you was talking about the guys in radio. What? You know, you're not in radio anymore. And so, you know, but you was happy they got let go. And I'm like, no, of course not. I did not feel sorry for that general manager that got let go because he treated us like crap in the business world. Now, you know, we get disrespected in the business world all the time. Let me give you an example of disrespect in a business situation. Okay, so this happened with a company that we went to meet with, right? So I was consultant. My company is called VMAC Consultants. So we were consulting for a major retail chain, nationwide retail chain, and I went to this water company to talk story with the owner, and the owner was trying to get his product, his water, into this, you know, and I can't tell you all the details because we have an NDA, you know, with the chain of stores, right? But anyway, long story short, and this is how meetings develop into more things, and this is the, you know, the value of a meeting, and why meetings are important. So we had this meeting, right? We're talking about one thing, and then pretty soon, you know, he starts asking me questions about my company. What do you guys do? You know, what else do you do? And one of the things I told him was like, well, we do a jingle. We do jingles for companies. We do creative advertising for companies. We do voiceovers. We do, you know, so I listed all these things that we do. And then we got into digital marketing, right? So that was another thing. And then we, you know, we're talking about, yeah, we run ads on Facebook, Instagram, all over for companies. So the next thing he goes, well, you know, I wouldn't mind a jingle. And I'm like, oh, jingle, okay. And I told this story on a, you know, if you go, I don't know, 20 podcasts back, maybe you could hear the story. So I'm just going to summarize. But the jingle came up, right? The disrespect part went like this. He said he was interested in the jingle. I said, okay, I'll have a demo in your inbox. And we'll send you the demo, no obligation. If you like it, you buy it. You don't like it, you know, no problem. Or you can tell us what you like about it, what you don't like, and we can work on it. And so he goes, okay, and we agreed, and we shook hands. And then the meeting came to an end shortly after that. And then I went on my merry way, right? I wasn't exactly merry way, but I got in my car. And I wasn't skipping down the road or anything. I'm not like that. So anyway, Brad, this podcast has to be entertaining, okay? It has to. That's the rules. Okay, so anyway, but so I went back to the office, right? And I told my business partner, I said, you know what? So, and he's the one that did the music, Brother Wayne, and he's the one that died of cancer about 6 years ago. And so I went back and I told Wayne, I said, Brad, okay, we got this thing, we can nail this thing. I know we can make a sale. Now, the sale for the jingles that, you know, that we were doing, we started at $1,500 and they went all the way up to like $3,500 for a 60-second song or a 30-second song. And in this case, jingles are 30 seconds. Nobody's going to sit down and listen to a 60-second song about a business. But we did those kind of things for like business presentations, right? And It's a different genre, so to speak. But anyway, so we put this thing together. I put this thing together. I want to say my part, the writing part, the music part. Grab my guitar. You know, I played the chords. I'm like, okay. I thought up the melody. I'm like, okay. And then I started writing the lyrics. And that took me probably, I want to say about 10 to 15 minutes. And what happened, what normally happens, right, is I started doing this, and it's not an ego thing. It was just for me thing for a record. So I would always put on the top of the right-hand corner, and I have some of these. If you look on VMAC Consultants on Facebook, our Facebook site, there are some jingles that I posted pictures of the jingle itself, like the original, where I cross out words and whatever, and I put it up there just to show people the process or how it looks like or whatever, you know, kind of letting people in the back door and look around, you know, that kind of thing. Like, oh, how did this thing come to be? Well, this is it. And so on the top right hand corner, I would put the time that I started, and then when I finished it, I would put the time that I finished, and I would sign it, right? Because, I mean, those papers are all gone. I just took pictures and I put some of them up, you know, just to show people what my process is. And this is the creative process, right? And this is that right brain that we keep talking about, right? The creativity, that side of things, right? Where Jesus lives in the right hand. Okay, this is not church. I'm just telling you. That's what the Bible is about. It's about migrating from the left to the right. Anyway, so that happened, you know, that process. So I wrote the time and everything. So it was about 15 minutes and I got the thing completed. Okay, now it's Wayne's turn. And now I'm the engineer and he's the musician, right? So we have this keyboard that we hooked up to a laptop, right? MacBook Pro. And then I sat down and I did all the engineering. He did all the tracks. He did the tracks according to what I wrote. And, you know, and basically for many years, I was Charlie from Two and a Half Men. I mean, that's basically what, I mean, bro, with the chicks, everything, like the whole picture. And I did not see Two and a Half Men until like years later. And somebody said, bro, you should watch this show. You know, it's kind of like what you do. And I'm like, what? And when I saw the show, I'm like, oh man, I totally get it. And it was funny. Cause I don't watch too much TV or movies or anything like that. So I read books, I listen to audiobooks, I do a lot of work, a lot of research. And so, and then I work with my clients. So anyway, so we finished the jingle, right? The disrespect part was in 2 days, right? Cause I let it sit. You don't want to just deliver right away. And I talked about this before on a podcast. The reason why is because then people will expect that you turn over stuff like right away. So even big corporate accounts that we did, we finished the job. Sometimes, I mean, I remember one jingle we did I wrote it in 5 minutes. It took us maybe, I think, an hour and a half to produce. And we sat on it for 2 weeks. And it was killing us. We wanted to turn them in and make the money and invoice them and get our check. I mean, you know, we wanted to do that. But we didn't. We sat on it. So anyway, I get this thing, and this guy's, because he's the owner, so he gets it sooner, and it's in his inbox in 2 days, okay? Didn't hear from the guy, okay? So I'm like, okay, he's a busy dude, right? He's CEO and doing all his CEO stuff, and so, you know, a week goes by, and I go, okay, time to follow up. Now, you see, the thing I've learned in business in Hawaii, and I don't know if this works the same way in Zambia or where you guys are, wherever you are listening to the podcast. But there are some people in this world, depending on where you are, your geographic location and how business is done. Some people don't like follow-ups, right? So anyway, I follow up with him, right? Okay, no email for the next couple of days. So I'm like, all right. You know, cool. I'll follow up with his marketing director who was in the meeting. And I follow up with the marketing director. Okay, no email response. And I'm like, wow, that must have been a crappy jingle to them. I mean, you know, but everything that they mentioned in the meeting, we put in the jingle. You know, like environmentally green, I think was one of the lyrics and stuff like that. And I'm like, whoa, this is unusual that people would just like, diss us in this manner, stonewall us is a old school term, and so nothing happened, right? And I followed up one more time, and I go, okay, I'm gonna follow up one more time. I'm gonna CC these two guys, and that's it. And I followed up one more time, nothing, like till today. And this is like years and years, but you know that's irrelevant already. But I'm just saying. So when you get when somebody says, okay, do this for us. We're open to this. Do this for us, and you do it for them, right? And they don't even I want to say have the balls to yeah, it's a pretty harsh term, yeah. Have the balls to say no, thank you, or whatever. I mean, they could have said, oh man, this jingle sucks, and I would have been like, okay, well, you know, my follow up to that would have been, well, is there anything or any ideas you have or how we could make this better or, you know, that kind of thing. That never happened. We never got any answers from these guys whatsoever. I mean, nothing, right? So what we did, right, is we put a we put a stone wall between their company and our national client. And that was the end of that for them. Because we weren't going to work on their behalf, even though we would, you know, be receiving a commission and whatever. But we were not going to do any work for people that disrespected us like that. So that's one form of disrespect in business. Okay. Now, the comment I had on Instagram about the last podcast, pertaining to, I gotta mention the website. I'm getting there. But pertaining to, you know, like Name Fame Diversity was the name of the last podcast, and we talked about, like, okay, when you get, you know, known, or your brand gets known. Now, if you're in radio, you are the brand. Okay, you are the radio personality. You are the brand. If you're in television, okay, the newscaster that you watch every night, okay, he's a brand. And I don't know whether people look at it like that, but I always looked at it and realized that I had a really good marketing mentor. So you know, I always looked at myself as a brand. And so the way I conducted business, or, you know, conducted myself in public, really had to be like, you know, non-damaging to the brand, right? So, and you have to keep all these things in mind, if you're going to be a brand, right? And so, but these people that do things on the side or diversify, okay, maybe they go into, I don't know, if I would have made Junior's Donuts or something, whatever. We did Junior's Jerky. That's another example. Okay. So that's a, you know, a side business, what the young people call a side hustle. So that was a side hustle. It still is. We still dumped a bunch of bags, over the holiday season. It's special order now, but it's gourmet jerky, right? It's gourmet jerky. So I don't have to, you know, keep going with a distributor and, you know, keeping up and hiring people to do this, that, and the other thing. So we just do special order. And that's another story for another podcast. That's another podcast, all right. That's another story for another podcast. But, so these things that you can spin off, you know, when you start doing something significant is important. The reason why it's important that you diversify, because this guy was like, oh, well, you was good with these guys losing their jobs. And I'm like, no, because it happened to me, right? And like I said, that general manager, yeah, I don't never, yeah, that disrespecting goes a long way as far as, you know, returning any aloha or feeling any sympathy or empathy or anything like that, right? It's just like, okay, you disrespect us. You're just gone. You're dead to us in the way that we don't bother with you anymore. We don't talk to you. We don't even think about you anymore. So the thing about the radio personalities losing their job and stuff, it's the reaction that I saw from the radio personalities that made me think that they didn't have anything else going on. The ones that I saw, and I only saw, like, I think two of them, and the comments on social media from two of them. And but here's the thing, right? This is why diversity is important. Bob Proctor teaches this, and I learned this from Bob Proctor. You can Google him. He's really good. And he teaches multiple avenues of income. Okay. And basically they're talking digital, like online. And we do have online businesses. Some of our companies are online, a couple of them, right? But the reason why it's important, and we found this out years and years ago, because when one thing was down, see, we would have bookings for our wedding and party business, and the bookings would be solid. And bookings meant that contracts were signed and money came in, right? And then we had to fulfill the contracts. So you fulfill the contracts when the date of the party's up, and, you know, you show up, everything, and you know do the whole thing, and then the contract is satisfied at that point. But there is a point where it starts dying down. So the majority of the contracts for the wedding, for weddings and baby parties were a little bit unpredictable, but most weddings were like in summertime, June, right? June weddings. And so the wedding contracts would come in right after Christmas because people would spend money on their, you know, families, right? So January, boom, contracts coming in. Contracts would come in the second week of January, and contracts would come in all the way until April. And I mean, when I'm talking about contracts, I'm talking about our contracts was what, like $19.99. I think we never left the house for less than $19.99. And I'm talking about 3, 4, 5 contracts a week. And not every week, but, you know, like that was an average. So like 1 week we'd have 5 contracts. Next week we'd have 3. Next week we might have 2 or 1. And then the next week we have 4 or 5 again. And this continued up until April. Now, when we got to April, right, everything would start slowing down. But here's what happened. Because we had multiple avenues of income, right, or let's say different businesses or different companies in some cases, right? So when this company was slow, or let's say, you know, because everything comes in waves. You guys got to look at that, waves, okay? So money's not going to come in continuously, okay? Now, maybe if you own a store and, you're selling things that people need every day, you know, soap, toilet paper, that kind of, okay, then yeah, okay, every day the cash register is ringing. But if you're doing, you know, contracts for a party, it's not like that. So that business would just be on fire from January till about April. Now, in April, the majority of our calendar was booked already. Up until the Christmas parties hadn't been booked yet normally. But we were like booked up until like summer, maybe I want to say August. And right around September is when companies would start talking to you for their company business party, like for Christmas or, you know, mahalo parties, that kind of thing. If you're not listening in Hawaii, okay, mahalo means thank you. And they're thank you parties to the employees. And so the way, the way that would go down, right? So in August, like August, September, October, these companies would start hitting us up. Now the wave would come back. So the wave actually kind of slows down. Everything slows down with the wedding and party business after April. But up until April, the amount of money we made was insane. It was just crazy. And we knew guys that were charging, you know, way more than us, that were making a lot more than we did. Because, you know, we had a, I don't want to call it a discount or a low price, you know, but our strategy was affordable price, right? And a good product. And so people relied on us for several things with the wedding and party business. Now, and the reason I'm going over this is because there's a lot of young people that, according to the statistics that we see and the demographics that we see, there's a lot of young people listening. So this is good information for a lot of you young guys. Now, a lot of business guys I know would never say these things in public. And so I want to share this with you guys so you guys can, you know, pick up on some of this, okay? So the strategy now, right, that I see going on with young guys is like, okay, how much can we get from this thing? And we're gonna kill this thing, and we're gonna make a killing with this. And then what happens when you do that sometimes, depending on what the product and situation is you kill off your market after a while. Okay, because you go in, right, and it's boom, 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 and then gone. Now you gotta jump to the next thing. And that's what I see these guys do. And maybe that's why they call what they do hustles. We had a wedding and party business, not a hustle. So we weren't hustling. we were doing business. And we were doing business by contract. The reason why our business works so good, right, is because, and it did, I want to say for, gosh, maybe 15 out of the 18 years. The last 3 years, it slowed down, COVID kind of thing. And so, but the beautiful part about the multiple avenues of income and all this stuff that I'm getting to is that the affordable price got us people that normally would not have gone with somebody else. That was one thing. But the other thing is that we did packages. We did everything, right? Now, one of these guys who actually opened a wedding shop with his wife, and God bless this guy. He opened. I don't know. He did a retail thing, right? And you know, he did MCs for weddings, and his wife did the bookings or whatever it was. It was very short lived. I don't think they even maybe a couple of years. They had their location for a couple of years, and not dissing them or anything like that. I'm just making an observation, but they did that right. Now this guy told me, "Oh, dude, your company's bad for business, for the industry. It's bad for the party industry." And I'm like, "Why?" He goes, "Well, because you guys do everything." And I'm like, "Well, the reason why we offer all those, you know, all the services we do, is so that people can save money. Our demographics, we're all out to the west side, like from Dole Cannery all the way back to Makaha Beach. Now, those of you who are not from Hawaii, this is like a large portion of the island of Oahu. And the good news for us was that the people on the other side, going in the other direction, didn't even know about us, because our listeners from, you know, the listenership of the radio station, the demographics were heavy all the way back to the west side, and the people on the east side never heard of us. The people on the east side, they were totally, it was a totally different vibe. And so these guys, you know, the good news was that we had an open market on that side. And we did start advertising and marketing other things to that end. And that's not a podcast. That's not a podcast, guys. But anyway, so we were not bad for the industry in the way of an alternative where you could, you know, you could just have one company take care of everything. Right, so we provided DJ dance music. We had opening acts. We had my 1 hour show. Right, I worked 1 hour on stage, but the rest of the time I had to hang out and oversee and supervise whatever. Not because the people that I hired, you know, I had to watch them or anything. That wasn't the case at all. It was just because the clients would want to talk to me, because I'm the guy that sat down and signed the contract. So that's another thing you guys got to keep in mind. When you sit down and sign a contract with somebody, you're responsible. Okay? Even if it's your company and you're signing on behalf of your company or whatever. So it would be totally irresponsible of me to go to an event that we sign and then do the show, the 1 hour show, and then, you know, show up like, I don't know, 10 minutes before I go on or whatever, because they wouldn't be able to, you know, first of all, they wouldn't be able to see me, talk to me, ask me questions or anything like that, right? And we are providing a service, right? So they expect to be serviced, right? People expect customer service. You young guys, you guys got to really focus on that, okay? Because I learned that. Service your clients. You always service your clients. Always go up to your clients and say, "Hey, you know, I'm here. If you need anything, please don't hesitate to ask. We'll take care of whatever you need, you know, blah, 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 whatever." And that's important. So you're kind of like doing a little public relations with your clients, but you're there for their peace of mind. So they know if anything happens, anything goes wrong, anything needs adjusting, whatever, you're there to take care of it. And that's very important. So we were there. So we did that. So I had to hang out. So yeah, I had to, you know, hang at one party for the whole night. So we only did one show an evening, but we also did a morning show. So some weekends we did five shows, one on Friday night, one Saturday morning, one Saturday night, one Sunday morning, one Sunday night. And if you're talking like 1999 a party, you can do the math. Now, if it's a wedding, weddings were 2,500. And so, yeah, so you could do the math and you could figure it out. And, you know, we never did five weddings in a weekend. I can tell you that. We never did. And weddings are a lot of work. Weddings are a lot of work, because as an MC who is responsible for the show and running everything and making sure everything's on time, if you're the MC, you're making sure the event runs on time. You move the event. That's your job. And so anyway, but those are little, you know, tidbits of information that you guys could use, okay, you younger guys. And the you know, that comment that I got from this guy about like, oh, you're bad for the industry because other MCs not making money because you're doing the MC and then you're doing the entertainment. So that knocks out the somebody else's, you know, entertainment gig and blah, blah, blah. And you know what really happened? What was interesting and what led me to believe that this was just one of those, you know, professional jealousy comments that you need to ignore if you get, is that as time went on, when we got to 2008 and the recession of 2008, what happened that we noticed was that other people started copying our business model. Because for years, we provided everything. Hey, we do everything for you guys. We package everything. One low price package deal. We take care of everything and good service. And so we saw more and more companies do that. Well, pretty soon, right, when we got on in the years, and I want to say maybe 3 to 4, maybe 5 years before the before COVID struck and everything, when everybody went out of business, well, temporarily anyway, right? But during that period of time, we saw more and more people online on social media offering complete packages, like for everything. And I was like, wow, we actually, you know, made an impact with these people. Because the guys that were doing it were guys that knew me on the radio. And they were, some of them were radio guys. So they would do the DJ, they would do, you know, they would do the entertainment, or they would have somebody partner with them, and they got, you know, they put it all together. But they offered one package. So we kind of started that in the party, you know, arena or industry, whatever you want to call it. But yeah. And then COVID happened, so we gracefully shut it down. And we shut it down in 2019. And because it kind of looked, the climate, we kind of read the political climate, and it didn't look too good. And then boom, COVID happened, and we said, well, okay. The only drawback was that $4,000 that I dropped for the equipment, right? And because I thought, oh, we're gonna need a sound system anyway. And well, it's still sitting in boxes and it's still in storage, and you know, and that. But that's what you gotta do. You gotta take a gamble. That's another thing I want to say about business. If you guys are afraid to take a gamble, okay. If you guys are afraid to, you know, put the money on red and spin the dial or whatever, you know, whatever. If you're afraid to gamble or take a chance or take risks, then stay out of business. You know, I know some guys that are so hesitant to, like, they're in business, right? And they do take occasional risks, but they're so calculated out that they miss out. Okay, I could tell you this story about this one guy that we were consulting for, and he owns a really upscale, nice store. I'm not gonna go into the details of, you know, or anything. And we have an NDA with him as well, so I can't tell you the specifics. But I can tell you that we were talking to him about building up his social media, his Instagram site. And we were talking to him about building his Instagram and building clients and, you know, building engagement and therefore or thereby increasing his business, right? And he, in an effort to save money, had this girl who worked for him do the social media because she was younger. And she was like almost 40. She was in her late 30s. And they were doing it wrong. They were doing their Instagram. Well, they weren't even doing Instagram stories at the time, and they were doing it wrong, and they totally missed the boat. Now here's the thing, right? Competition always comes along, okay? Always, and it's not about competing. It's about creating. But you need to create something that's within, you know, what's going on or what's happening at the time. You know, when we used to do it in the old days, it involved other things. Now it's social media. Now you got to stay up on your social media. So they missed the boat, right? And there's this other store in their genre or their, you know, their area of service and products that is killing it now, right? And we were talking to this guy, like, I don't know, maybe I want to say seven, eight years ago. 8 years ago, right? And then we talked to him the first meeting 8 years ago. And then maybe about 6 years ago. 6 years ago, he goes to the mainland. He sits through a Gary Vee thing and gets inspired, right? He comes back and he goes, oh, man, you know, Gary Vee's talking about this, this, that, that, you know, whatever. And I said, yeah, that's what we were discussing in the first meeting. And by that time, right, this other company comes along and we're watching and we're looking at his competition. Okay, because the first thing that you keep in mind, too, is like, okay, you're servicing this guy or you're meeting with this guy or you're working for this guy. Who's the competition? You know, and watch the competition. Because if this guy terminates his service with you, you can service somebody else. You can help somebody else. You can help his competition. I mean, it's all about who's going to hire you, right? And there's no, unless you have a non-compete clause in your contract, then it's perfectly ethical and legal and all of that. But anyway, and we did not approach his competition because we saw that they had their toys together and they had everything in line. They had all their ducks in a row, right? Now, when I look at those guys, same business, same industry, they are killing it. These guys have tons of engagement. Every post they put up gets jumped on. People jump on the post, right? I look at the other one, right? The company that we were going to help. And it's okay. It's all right. But it's just all right. You know? It's like minimal engagement, but really nicely done. And sometimes what you got to know is when you're doing Instagram or you're doing social media, it's not Madison Avenue anymore. This is not who has the shiniest toy. This is about who communicates, right, to the customer, the client, who's communicating the best, who's striking at the core of these people that's making them want to buy your product or your service or whatever. And so anyway, but you know, and that's one thing I wanted to mention as well, because a lot of you guys are into that, right? This is the digital age right now. Okay, now, speaking of the digital age and all like that, I'm going to get killed if I don't mention the website. So here it comes now. Okay, jrkjr.com is real easy. You know, there is the Junior Kekoeva Junior Show.com. That's really hard to spell and whatever. And I don't know who made that decision, but it wasn't me. But we, you know, every time we jump on .coms, it's like, all right, let's get this .com, let's do this .net, that, you know, and we buy them all. And but this time we got that long that long ass name. But what we overlooked for a long time, in fact, so when I say long time, I'm talking like 2 months, is we had made JRKJR very popular over the years with our wedding and party business. So we took that URL and we assigned it to the podcast site. Now on the podcast site, you guys can go over there and you guys can ask me life coaching questions or marketing questions or business questions. I'll be happy to help you guys with, you know, ideas and overviews and whatever. You have 80 seconds to leave me a voicemail. It's real easy. If you're on a cell phone, press the button. It'll take you into a recorder and hit that button. And you can leave me an 80-second comment or question or whatever. The other thing that I'm being asked to, the other thing is that please give us reviews. If you like the podcast, please give us a review. So another thing is like people ask me like, okay, where you're on all these networks, Uncle. We saw, we Google you and you are on all these networks. Where do we leave the review? Okay. Please leave it on Apple if you can. Okay. Or you can leave it on our website. You can just go to jrkgr.com and leave a review. But please leave a review. That does help us. What it does is it, if you do it on Apple, Apple will push out our podcast and it'll push it out to more people in more countries. Otherwise, it kind of gets, you know, if people find us, they find us. If we get better reviews and engagement in that area, then yeah, they push it out. So, and then mahalo for the reviews. Thank you for the reviews. Now, the other thing, so just recapping about, you know, diversity. Okay, diversity. is diversity is important. Multiple avenues of income is important. When one thing slows down, you got the other thing. And that was our experience. When the wedding and party businesses slowed down in April, the money slowed down. We had things from the other side, from the other couple of things that we had going on, from the production company, from the jingles, from, you know, the students at the voice school, that kind of thing. And so that would come up. And when that was down, because during the holidays, everybody takes breaks, especially from the school, right? When the kids are out of school, they want to be out of school. They want to be out of learning. They want to be on a break, right? So everybody takes a break during the holidays. So from Thanksgiving till the day after New Year's, right? Everything was like down to, I mean, you could hear a pin drop at the teaching studio, you know, but we had other things. We had recording sessions to do with AFM Hawaii Music. We had other things to work on. We had jingles to work on. In fact, here's an interesting bit of trivia. Every Thanksgiving, right? Because I don't have family on this island. I have a cousin that I see. That's about it. And I have a couple cousins, but one cousin and I get together regularly. And so anyway, but the point was that every Thanksgiving, instead of, having Thanksgiving dinner or whatever, there was no Thanksgiving dinner to have, you know, so, or no family to be involved with, to have or whatever like that. So we always went to the office and we made money on Thanksgiving. There was two holidays that we always made money. Thanksgiving was one, and Valentine's Day with the Jammograms, right? We told you guys that one on the other podcast. But Jammograms were phenomenal. So while all these other guys were out there, right, and they were spending hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on their, you know, significant other, right? I was out there making money. I was not out there forking out money at a florist, you know. I did, but that was to, you know, pick up lays and stuff for the Jammograms. But yeah. So you can, another thing I want to cite right here while I'm on this idea and topic and stuff, right, is that you guys can figure out how to make money in any situation. Okay, I don't care if it's a depression. I don't care what it is. The guy I used to work with on radio, he was the lead guy, and it was his show, right? Number two show in Hawaii, still is. And he told me one time, which was one of the highest compliments I think that I ever got from him. Actually one of them anyway. And he said, you know, you can monetize just about anything. And the way I think about it, right, in my marketing mind, is like everything is marketing, okay? Especially you younger guys. So you guys in your 30s listening to Unks right now, okay? Everything is marketing. When you're walking across the, you know, the room or the club, right, to go check out that girl that you want to talk to or whatever, that's marketing, okay? The way you're presenting yourself to her, that's marketing. Okay, the way you sell yourself to her, because you are selling yourself to her when you do that, you're advertising, right? Now, you know, and that's why it takes a couple of months before she starts seeing the real dude, okay? So you got to be honest, okay? Like I tell you guys in the relationship talks, okay? In the relationship podcast, I always tell you, women can handle the truth. They can handle. Believe me, they're tough. They can handle, okay? They just cannot handle bull crap. Okay, so if you're gonna snow job on chick, just be prepared, okay? Because she will find out, and when she finds out, then you gonna get that hell hath no fury stuff. But anyway, yeah, you can avoid all of that. Just be straight up. You know, when she asks you, like, oh, you seen anybody else? Oh yeah, I've seen plenty of chicks. I see whoever I like. I'm single, right? Just tell them straight, right? Because you think, right, y'all, that can blow the whole deal. And, you know, no, it will not blow the deal. In fact, it will make you look more attractive and she will pursue you more. But, though, okay, that's just never mind. No, we're not talking about relationships today. Okay. But diversification, marketing, and marketing, whatever it is you have to sell. Everything is a service. Everything is a transaction. Marriage, you need a license, right? You need a license to sell stuff. You need, right? You need a license to drive a car, right? Why do you need a license to drive a car? So that they can collect money. So that the city and county makes money. right? And the state makes money. And that, I mean, you know, so you have to look at various avenues of income for yourself. Okay. You got to take care of yourself. Now you got to set these things up so that when one thing slows down, the other thing makes money. Now the stock market right now is very volatile, right? Up, down, up, down, up, down. Okay. Pretty soon they're going to reset. Okay. When they reset, right, you can make money. Okay. But don't wait until the market falls to the floor, you know, to start putting money on the side. So when Tesla goes down to, you know, like $50 a share, you can cash in and start acquiring shares. Okay. Don't wait till that happens. Okay. Start doing it now. Start planning for that now. Start putting money aside now. So when that happens, right, you know, and you know what works good for me? Envelopes. Envelopes full of cash, right? Envelopes. And not only that, okay, here's another tip. I'm gonna give you guys a couple tips over here, okay? Everybody got their own methods. Everybody got their own way, right? If you carry money, don't carry 20s. Carry hundreds. Carry 50s and hundreds. You know why? Because it's you're gonna be more reluctant to break a 100 and break a 50 than you will a 20. A 20, no problem, right? 20, go ahead, boom, going. Right now, if you got $100 bill in your wallet, you can think twice. You could think twice about buying that Starbucks. You could think twice about buying a small little item, right? Because now you got to break your money. See what I'm saying? So put hundreds in your wallet. Put 50s in your wallet. You get an emergency, no problem. Boom, there you go. Right? But otherwise, that's a tip. That's a tip for monks. Now, the other thing I told you about fear. Fear is only perception. Fear is what you think, right? You put yourself in fear through your thoughts. And if you are in fear, or you put yourself in fear, okay, you can get yourself out. Okay, it's a matter of thinking. It has to do with your subconscious, okay? But the fear of not having money, or the fear of losing money, or the fear of, you know, and we're talking about working with money, right? If you have a fear, okay, and you got to realize what money is in this country. Okay, it's based on nothing. Well, it's actually based on Saudi oil. That's the only thing that keeps it in the market. That's the only thing that keeps it going. Okay, but I'm just saying that the Federal Reserve notes are worth, you know, nothing. It's not backed by gold. It's backed by oil. But you know, that's not a podcast on it. Okay, but yeah, it's your attitude about money. Okay. Now, if you're so fearful of you know, handling money, right? You see those guys, they get the credit card. You give them your credit card at the store, and some of them, like, you know, a lot of these people that are from other countries, they handle it like it's a holy thing. They take it, they receive it with two hands, and they kind of bow to it. You know, almost. You know what I'm saying, right? So don't let money be your god. Okay, how ain't? Don't let money be your god. Money comes and goes, okay? Money is an instrument of measure. That's all. That's all it is. You're taking in over here, okay? Don't get attached, okay? Pay your bills, you know? And the other thing that's relative to the fear, right? I told you, right? Just keep your bills all in one pile and don't open the mail. If it's a bill, because you know which ones are bills, right? You know what they look like. I mean, they scream at you, right? Okay, so put them all in a pile. Don't open them till you get paid, okay? Because the average guy gets paid every 2 weeks. I get paid whenever. I get money coming in, you know. That's another thing. So various avenues of income, right? There's money always coming in different amounts from different sources, okay? That's another good way of, or a good thing about various avenues of income. Now, sometimes the amounts are small. Sometimes it's a couple hundred, okay? Sometimes it's a couple thousand. Sometimes it's 10,000. Sometimes it's, you know, $10. It just depends on what it is and what you're selling. If it's a bag of Junior's jerky, right? Okay? So that's 10 bucks right there, okay? And if it's my book online, that's $9.99, right? That's like, I don't know, with tax, 10 something, whatever. That's 10 bucks right there, see? But if you're doing volume, okay, if you're doing volume sales, if you're on Amazon, yeah, we, you know, I check my email sometimes. It's like, you know, I get tons of receipts. I get I get two receipts and it's listed, boom, 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 all the sales on top, right? And every time I see that, I thank God. You know, I say Father God. So whoever you guys, you know, whatever you believe, but give gratitude. Okay. Now the fear of that, those bills thing is that stuff you gotta watch out for. And while I'm talking about business today, and while I'm talking about money today, and while I'm talking about these things, right? And they all play into politics. Okay. Well, we're not going to go there too much. Except I will tell you this. Okay. Right now there's talk about the Ukraine and this going to be on war. It's going to be on big world war. Okay. No, it's not going to be on world war. Okay. But you got to know what this really is. Okay. And I just going to take a couple minutes to sidetrack into this. Okay. But what's really going on is Russia's gold market was like skyrocketing. Their gold was going up. Okay. We started moving troops to the Ukraine. Guess what's happening to their markets? Yep, it's going down. Okay, so is our market right now because of the fear. Okay, the stock market is an emotionally driven market. Okay, so now everybody's fearful of war, right? Okay, so now it's playing mind games with people, okay? And these people are the people that control stuff, the people with money, okay? Now there's this big entity called the Federal Reserve, and they're basically using fiat cash, okay? Now the fiat cash, the natural enemy of the fiat cash is gold. When gold markets are going up in a foreign country, right? These guys have to act on it. They have to deflate it. They have to defuse it. They have to go out and do what they gotta do, right? To ensure their place in the marketplace. Okay, so this is why the Ukraine is going on. It's not about anything other. It's not about protecting the poor Ukrainian people. It's not about that. It's about protecting interest. It's about driving their market back down. It's about market dominance. Okay. And then on another podcast, maybe we can get into a little bit about the Chinese and why you shouldn't be afraid. Because there's a big fear thing over there too, right? But the Chinese financial markets are not stable. They're not, what I mean to say is that they're not all that. And I'm not a financial analyst, right? That's not my thing. But I can tell you right now that their financial structure, their financial infrastructure is kind of teetering. It's a little delicate. Remember what happened to the Japanese in the 80s? I don't know if you guys was alive. Some of my older podcast people, right? You guys remember, right? Remember how everything was made in Japan? Then all of a sudden in the 80s, they came over to Hawaii. They started buying everything. They went to New York. They bought buildings. Right? Okay. And then what happened in the mid 80s? The Nikkei tanked, right? The Japan stock market tanked, right? And what happened when that happened? They had to sell off everything they bought. And who came out the winner? The Federal Reserve. You see, Hawaiians? Okay. So bottom line, okay? Bottom line. Don't be fearful. Don't get all shook up. It's only a thing. It's about markets right now, okay? And the Federal Reserve, which is, you know, our currency or our fiat dollar, our dollar that's just based on air and Saudi oil, okay? So that dollar, that needs to be preserved. And the guys that are hooked into the Federal Reserve, trust me, they're good. So I have faith. It's just a waiting game. And they're going to reset. They got to reset, right? Because everything gets too high. Pretty soon you're going to be paying $100 a gallon for gas, right? And we can't have that. Because when that happens, local people will get out their guns. Sorry. Hawaii, I got to go. Gotta go, Hawaii. Oh, man. Anyway, no worries. But you know the sad part? Before I gotta go, I gotta tell you guys, the sad part is people have to die. That's the only sad part about war and stuff like that. Yeah. Hope it doesn't get too bad. Hey, want to thank Brother Randy and Sister Jerry from Island Club and Spa, our sponsors on the podcast. Also, Voice Master family of service companies. Like to say mahalo to them. Also, AFMHawaiiMusic.com. Check them out. Until next time, I'm Junior Gekoeva Jr. saying mahalo and aloha.